Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Monday morning of game week.
Look at that.
We made it.
We made it.
Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Bluepolo. Excuse me. What did I almost say there? Bluepolo?
Bluepolo. Bluto's Tupelo. Bluepolo.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just the two words that you tried saying, I guess.
Start that one up. We'll just start it over there. At Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Bluepolo over in Tupelo, it'd be a little strange, Carlo, if Bluepolo was in Chiraw.
Okay.
You had the heads up that this was coming. You knew that we were going to do this, and yet you weren't prepared.
I'm just sitting here, man.
There's a line. There's something you're supposed to say.
Oh.
You blew it. You blew it!
Yeah, I did.
We'll try that again tomorrow. Sorry.
Still not going to get the line tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the line is.
Okay.
So that you know. I thought you just knew.
I don't know everything, Brian.
I was all excited for the return of this bit, and... I
smoked it.
You didn't. You did not. You messed it up. So my apologies to the fine people in Chiraw, Mississippi.
Sorry, guys.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef.
I got that one right. It's what's for dinner. You're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I did beef twice this weekend. I had bacon cheeseburgers on Friday night, and then I did some slow cooked beef short ribs last night with some pierogies.
Okay,
they were good.
Yeah,
they were good. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not on the grill though, beef is just so versatile, man. In the crock pot, in the roasting pan, just on a skillet, you can make a great meal for your family with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Game week is here. If you're in the Jackson area, before you get up to Starkville, maybe make a trip to College Corner. Pick up some new game day polos or some stuff for the tailgate, stuff for the car, whatever it is you need, maroon and white. They've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the bankers at Priority One Bank. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers are going to treat you with respect and give you a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Well, I hope Mississippi State is more prepared than Carla Barone was today. That was a tough one.
I messed up one line.
That was a tough one. People were looking forward to that. And
you.
No, people. Our sponsors.
My bad. I guess I'll get it next time.
Yeah. We should make that the bit that you never get it right.
People don't like to think that anyway, that I live under a rock.
And that would be a funny one, though, just like every time you're like, you never get it right, and I don't know. We'll work.
Maybe I'm doing this on purpose.
It seems unlikely. All right. We're in game week here. A little later this morning, if you're listening on a Monday, 10:15, I believe, is... Can I ask you a question? Was the wording of that email weird?
I didn't think so.
It was like... The press conference will be every time at 11:15, except for this Monday. Like, why not just say
It was this one in October 12th.
Yeah. Like, why not just
I don't
say,
know.
why not just say this week it's this, but then after that it's, I don't know. I was reading and I was like, am I reading this right? It is at 10:15. So 10:15, we'll talk to Jeff Lebby for the first time on a game week press conference. And then we'll have some, I believe, some selected players. I would imagine Kamario. If you made old Brian Haydad guess, we'll talk to Kamario Taylor, Isaac Smith, and either Anthony Evans or Kelly Jones. Those are the three players we'll talk to today. Maybe
I'm fine with that.
Cannon Boone, maybe.
Or they'll throw us like,
Throw us a wild card?
yeah, I was gonna say Kyle Ferry.
Ferry could be, I mean, guys, senior, been here a long time. I mean, it could happen like that. So we'll see. We'll record right afterwards. We'll try to have the audio from Jeff Lebby's press conference on there today. We're at game week. So the question becomes, what have we not talked about? What have we missed this offseason? Is there something that stands out to you that you're thinking about with this particular football team that you're like, maybe we haven't given that enough talk? The thing that stands out to me the most is, and I was talking to somebody who was at the mock game scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. Once again, the offensive line left to right is the same offensive line. I mentioned this on Thunder and Lightning on the live show that I went back. I was looking at something on the On3 message board, and I remembered that I ran their game thread for the spring game because Paul was sick and Colin wasn't on board with On3 yet. So I was like, you know what? I'm here. I'll do it. I'll be a friend. And in that thread, there was a post that I made that said, here's the offensive line left to right. McVay, Chester, Boone, Prudhomme, Chumper Perkins. Then we get into the practices and people who can see, when we were out there, it's McVay, Chester, Boone, Prudhomme, Chumper Perkins. And then at each of the scrimmages, I've heard it's McVay, Chester, Boone, Prudhomme. So going back to the spring, it feels like they've been able to identify their five offensive linemen.
The whole time he said that, he's confident in the starting five
Yeah,
that they
a
have
couple more guys,
and a couple more guys.
which I know Blake Steen is one of those guys. I think that the true freshman Dalton Toothman is another one of those guys.
Ooh.
I think it's just from talking to Lebby and he, his name has just popped up a few times. And then, after that, I don't really know. And so, that's a concern that they don't have the eight guys that they would like to have. But you remember this time a year ago, they were shifting around linemen up until game week. You remember when they released the first depth chart, which I assume will come out today. Like Albert Reese at left tackle was a big shocker to us. We were like, wait a minute, what? Reese is at left tackle? And it feels like they've kind of had this group under wraps and ready to go since going back into May.
And I think kind of continuity is a big thing in college football, keeping your guys there, but keeping the same starting five offensive linemen, which we both agree is, one of the bigger X factors of what this team could be this year, has got to be good because they definitely didn't have it the last 2 years. And even going into the season, like you said, it was uncertain. And then their whole time, they were battling injuries throughout the year. So they really haven't had a continuous consensus around who they're going to start. I guess for a long periods of time, or any periods of time, I think having the same five starting linemen through the spring, through the summer, and now through the not fall camp, I think is only going to do them well because Jeff Lebby has talked about, how he's really confident in the five. He said that in the spring. He said it in the last few weeks. So, I mean, that can only be a good thing because he definitely knows it's been a problem for them for the last 2 years. And one way to solve it is, give the same five guys the same opportunities that they've been having since the spring and also build their confidence as a unit. And also, chemistry with the five guys, big thing that they really haven't had.
And it's so tough to build chemistry in the offensive line when you're talking about four new starters, three of them are from the portal. How do you do that? Well, you identify them in the spring, and that's your starting line throughout camp. They got to start figuring that out at some point. So that's a good starting point for me. I'll tell you another one. And you go back to last year, we were hearing a lot about Jett Jefferson, and he was going to be. It seems like he's going to be that starting cornerback. Gets hurt right before the USM game. And it just never comes on for him last year, just battled injuries and was never the guy. The fact that he's been the guy basically all of this month of August in practice, like who's the number two corner on the other side of Kelly Jones, has been Jet Jefferson. I feel really good about that. You know, State went out and went to the portal and brought in, what, three or four more new cornerbacks that they thought could come in and compete for that job. And the guy who won it was already on campus, and the guy who they thought was going to win it last year. I think that's a great sign. That's a good sign for the evaluation process. It's a good sign for Jet Jefferson. You know, he doesn't have to be Deion Sanders over there. You know, he doesn't have to be, you know, that kind of player, because you got that guy on the other side. You just got to be pretty good. And Mississippi State's defense takes a big step forward. So, again, just the continuity of hearing the same name at that position since the start of camp, that's, to me, is a huge positive.
And I don't think we've talked about the number two corner spot enough.
There you go.
I think that's huge, because it also gives him confidence. Because, I mean, you feel for the guy. He was set to be that role last year, gets hurt, and then doesn't see the field again. So, he's probably, punching himself a little bit that he got hurt and lost his spot. But the fact that he was able to regain it, have competition come in and still win, I mean, again, continuity is a huge thing. And with two different schemes as well. You got to think, he had Coleman Hutzler last year. Now they've got Arnett, which he's going to get thrown at simply because he's on the other side of Kelly Jones. So I think he's in a good spot. And I think the secondary as well is in a very good spot, because obviously who they're bringing back. But the fact that they're that confident in him and have been for months is a good sign.
I agree. I'll give you another thing. I guess I'm just the theme here is just things I've heard from camp, or things I know, things I am aware of that give me confidence. I think from a special team standpoint, Mississippi State is very, very solid. I feel like Kyle Ferry is a kicker I can feel like I can rely on. I feel like Ethan Pulliam is a kicker, a punter that I can rely on. I'm interested. You know, it looks like Anthony Evans is going to get some opportunities returning punts. I don't mind that, because I think that he's the best option. Do you have injury concerns? Yeah, but you can't coach and set your lineups based off of injury concerns. You got to put the best ball in the best player's hands as much as you can. You know, go back to the Egg Bowl and, like, why did they not let Brennan Thompson return punts all year?
Great question.
And so here you are. Let this guy do it. I think, you know, the ball security will be really good with him. And I feel really good about that. I think, you know, special teams lost State a couple games last year. You know, we make the points about it's not kicking the field goal against Florida at the end. But don't forget, Ferry missed one. Now, I say missed like this. He didn't really miss it. The kick was good. It's just a blown call. But regardless of that, that's a special teams. You know, I hate to be hard on him for it, but at the same time, it is what it is. The Texas game.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't make the mistake on the punt, you win the game. So,
and that returner had one like a week or two prior.
He's one of the best returners in the country.
They should kick that thing 30 yards out of bounds.
Just shanked it right out of bounds. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, special teams can win and lose games. I feel like Mississippi State's special teams leans toward, especially this season with another year under their belts, leans towards winning games.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that the Pulliam and Kyle Ferry combo is the best in the conference, at least special
teams.
Good
question. Wise. Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely up there.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The two best combos might be in-state, because Ole Miss's punter, I think, was second.
Oh, Oscar Bird, yeah.
He was the second best punter in the conference last
year.
Yeah,
him and Carnero.
Carnero was really, really good.
Cannon.
Yeah.
It's a good point. You can make the argument that Mississippi is the best kicking in the state. But I think, I mean, again, same point with Ole Miss, too. You bring the same guys back that have done it well in the past, give them another year to develop as – upperclassmen and everything. I think State's in a very good spot. They lost games. Like, you point to the Florida game as one they lost because of special teams. I would put that more, and the Texas game, on Jeff Lebby. But yes, they did definitely have their moments.
And I wouldn't even say they lost either one of those games because of special teams. I would just say that special
they
teams
added to it.
Played a role in State's demise.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Well, in all accounts, Ferry should have had an opportunity to win that game in Florida. And, I mean, you could blame it on the coverage for Texas. Mm-hmm. You could blame it on that he was told to kick it to the guy.
I would absolutely blame it on Pulliam in that one. Because if you go back and watch that kick, There's no reason to try.
It was a line drive, wasn't it?
It was an absolute bomb. He outkicks the coverage, and there's just nobody there when the guy catches the ball. He's able to run for about 10 yards
Before
before
even.
anybody's even close to him. Yeah, and in reality, it should the conversation has to be, and then that falls on Cliff Odom as well. Like, the conversation has to be, put it towards the sideline,
Get this thing out
get it
of
out of
bounds.
bounds. It doesn't matter what happens. Don't let them return the
They're up,
kick.
what were they up
They're still
17
up
up?
seven at that point.
Oh, they're up 7 at that
Yeah,
point. That tied
that
the
tied the
game. Oh
game.
my
Yeah.
gosh, yeah. I'm
It was a
running through that
heartbreaker.
game in my mind now.
I've tried to block it out for the most part. So
That press conference was hard.
I wasn't there, thankfully.
That was a
So was the I promise you
very
though.
grim one.
So was the post game show that I did. So just is what it is. What's something we haven't talked enough about, or something that
Think
we've
they're
heard from camp that gives us, I feel like the wide receiver competition has been really good.
We've talked about that a bunch.
But I feel like from the running back perspective, we haven't heard a whole lot.
No, it's Flood Bothwell, and
Yeah. They're trying
they have
they're
four
figuring
guys
it
that'll
out.
probably play.
Yeah, they haven't really I don't think, and maybe we can ask Levy about this later today, that, do you feel like you've settled on a rotation there at running back, or
I'll say this, from what we know about the scrimmages, to say that JJ Hill is fourth on the depth chart, I don't buy that. I think he's closer to two and three than he is five.
I agree with that 100%.
I think he's going to be playing a lot because I remember that one scrimmage he had that like 40-yard touchdown or whatever. I mean, probably not early because of the veteran, or I guess the year or two experience in front of him. By late season, it might be him and Bothwell.
Here's another thing from camp that I've heard a few times that I don't know if it gives me confidence, but I'm interested, is the number of true freshmen whose name I've heard this camp. You just mentioned Hill. I've heard Cooper Crosby's name a good bit.
Obviously, Womack.
Braylon Womack's name has been said. I mentioned Dalton Toothman just a minute ago. Talking to Jeff Lebby, Camden Capehart is a guy who they feel like they got to find ways to get him on the field. The speed has to be used.
Kick return.
Right. Yeah, something.
It's gotta be.
Just find some packages for the young man to get the ball to him in open space and be able where you can turn and get upfield, and or maybe just some deep shots down the field, because it's gonna be tough, especially in the slot. It'll be tough for people to stay with him. I don't know the answer to that, but it feels like there are six or seven, maybe even eight. That thing's dead. That's a dead meme
I
at
didn't
this
say
point. You
anything.
gave it a look. It feels like there are a number of true freshmen, though. And another, I mean, I've heard Micah Nickerson's name a few times. That maybe like not early, but later in the year, he could make some sort of contribution. I assume now with the 5 for 5, you're just going to play guys. There's no point in trying to redshirt anybody
Yeah.
anymore. So, maybe you don't see him early, but you could see Nickerson later in the season.
Zdeon Cotton as well, tight
Sayon
end.
Cotton's another one. Where is he going to line up on the field? Gives you a guy who can play close to the line, play attached, or can get split out wide and play wide
He
receiver.
played wide receiver in high school as
He
well.
did, and has played some wide receiver in practice,
Yeah.
and could be a valuable red zone target. For a team that needs red zone targets, especially if the receiving core, if State decides to go speedy and they want to go Reagans, Evans, and Johnson as the wideouts, right? You don't really have a big, tall wide receiver or from a tight end perspective. Sam West, not you know, I don't I would just like
He's not
that.
taking the top off the defense,
Right, I like the
but
idea of Cotton in the red zone, being that 6'5" guy who can just go up and high point the ball.
yeah, I agree, and I think that'll be kind of a role he can fill just because his athleticism. We talked to West in I think that was April or something, and he talked about how there's a bunch of guys in the room with different skill sets. So I'd imagine they're gonna, West will be the down tight end, through the series, but. I mean, two tight end looks. You get Zayon Cotton running something that, I mean, a guy, not only is he athletic, but, people haven't seen him. He's a freshman now. So he'll have his opportunities. I feel like in the red zone, if they want to do that, because I don't think West is he's not your typical, throw it up and box the guy out kind of tight end. He's more of like, I feel like a little bit of a route runner. But I also feel like in that regard, Cotton maybe has an edge over him, at least in the red zone.
It feels like physically Cotton can do some of the things that Sadu Traore did.
Yes.
He has a little bit more speed, a little bit more athleticism. Can he just be a little bit more consistent? You know, I feel like Traore's biggest issue was he's just not consistent. You know, some weeks he would give you four or five catches and look really good, and then some weeks he would just disappear. And so you need a little bit more consistency just from that tight end position in general. Is there anything that's that you from you know what? Hold on. Let's hold that thought. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. The week of the game is here. It is time for college football here in Starkville. That means you're going to be in the Cotton District. That means you need to be at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Two fantastic places to eat, two places to grab whatever it is you like to eat. If you want the fancy sandwich, you go over to the Older Brother. But if you want the smoked Southern soul food, you head over to Two Brothers. Doesn't matter what time of day it is, a great meal awaits every time you're at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, guess what? Same people, same phone number. You know them, they know you. And because they're in Mississippi like you, a lot of times they can get out to fix your problem the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Apparently, I have to go by Maroon & Co. Tomorrow or today as you're listening. So somebody texted me, like, do you think Maroon & Co. would hold a shirt for me? I was like, I could just go buy it for you. They're like, oh, yeah, do that for me. So, and then I asked, that's like, well, how much does the shirt cost? They're like, well, it's this much, but I have this promo code Thunder15. I'm
Oh
like,
my
all right,
gosh.
that'll work. I'm happy to use that. So, game day is almost here. You're going to be in Starkville this weekend. Make sure before you head over to Davis Wade Stadium, before you head to the Junction for your tailgate, before you do anything, when you get into town, make a trip to Maroon & Co. Make sure you got everything you need for your game day experience. And our promo code is there. Thunder15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, which should be this weekend, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Guys, college football is here. It's in full effect. That means your Saturday morning window to mow the grass, it just got a little smaller because you got to get back in front of the television. You got to be able to watch the games. That means you need to have ultimate power out there on your lawn with John Deere. John Deere mowers, compact tractors, everything you're looking for in John Deere Green in North Mississippi. Our friends at Scruggs have got it for you, and they've got the best deals available, best financing available. Visit them today. Talk to the guys in the credit department. They'll set up a tremendous plan for you, and you can have that John Deere mower taking care of business on your lawn this weekend. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. You are a landowner in the state of Mississippi. Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know and the name to trust. If you are looking to buy or sell land in this state, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely make that purchase or sale happen for you, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres. They can get the job done. And if you're already a landowner and you just need help managing your land, managing your resources and your timber, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely do that for you as well. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888 or visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. So that's all the positive stuff. What have we heard that concerns you? Or what concerns are left for you at this point when we as we get into game week?
Well, it's not really something you can see during fall camp. You really can't see it till a game. How is the coaching staff going to manage situations better than they did last year?
Right.
And I think a lot of the coaching changes we talked about through the painfulness of trying to figure out how many former head coaches were on the squad. I believe it's five. That's what we came to. So they've got five former head coaches. Now they've got Jeff Lebby. He's in year three, and he's got what he says is the best coaching staff around. So, I mean, it's all fun and games. We can see the stuff in the spring. We can see the stuff in the fall. It's, managing those situations, the clock better. We point to the Texas game as, the epitome of, this is what not to do in the fourth quarter when you're up 17. Until then, I mean, honestly, until Minnesota, until it's the second half and it's a one score game, we don't know. That's his first shot, and I think you could blame coaching on a few of the losses last year. I think they're a better team than their record was. I don't think that's crazy to say at all because they should have won a couple of those games. But until we see it in a game, we probably won't see it. Let's just say if we see it in week one, we're in a lot more trouble than we think. But week two, week three, and week four, we talked about how important September is. That's going to be your time to manage these games right and give yourself the best chance to win. I think that's, the offensive line is an X factor. I think that's just as much as managing a game, managing situations. You're in year three now. You've coached, what, 25 games
mm-hmm.
now? You should, they should be better in that department this year. But, until we see it, we don't know.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the additions to the staff were made in such a way that Lebby realized that something he needed this. He needed experience. He needed expertise. He needed somebody who had been there and done that in the headset with him to just give him that extra, bit of confidence in what he was doing. And so you go out and you do that. And they went out and found those guys. And so but you're correct in that. That's something we can't see the results of not only.
Probably something at the end of the season you look on and see.
It's like,
do we do better here?
Well, I mean, it's a situation where if they have a late lead against anybody and they are able to close out the game and, they're running the clock down and they're running the football, they're not taking unnecessary risks. Or a game where they're trailing late and they make a good drive, they put a good drive together. And here's the thing, when you're the head coach, you're going to get all the credit. It's going to be Jeff Lebby called a great drive there. Nobody outside of people like you and I, like the people who really truly cover this team, are going to be like, oh, well, having Kevin Johns and Philip Montgomery probably helped in that regard. The national media to say, great, Jeff Lebby is growing as a head coach.
Yes.
But you and I can look at it and go, well, I bet having Montgomery and Johns and Wells and Mason Miller on the sideline and in the booth with them didn't hurt, if nothing else. So that's one. It's nice. It's a concern that we can't address. I guess the running back thing is another one that I can't address until I see. And even with the offensive line, I got to see them play. Yeah, I'm glad that they found five guys and have kind of stuck with them, and they really truly believe these are the best five left to right. But at the same time, until they play, and I've been saying it for months, we'll continue to hammer this theme all week long getting up to game day, is that, look at the stats a little closer this upcoming week. What if State's yards per carry? If State rushes for 250 yards, that's great. But if it takes 60 carries to do it, not great. All right, this is a game where you should average well over 5 and closer to 6, maybe 7 yards per carry. How many sacks, how many hurries did you allow in this game? If the number, if sacks and hurries combined is greater than 4,
they're in trouble.
That's a real problem.
This team is, there's no advantage, ULM, with all due respect to that program. They have no advantage. Players, coaches, nothing.
I saw a post on a message board, and this game should look like it was unfair Mississippi State scheduled it.
Yes.
It should be a game where, like, can't they find a better opponent than this kind of game? It should look reminiscent to when you play in FCS. This is one of the worst teams in FBS.
The first?
That's not my opinion. That is a bona fide fact.
The first quarter is very important.
Yes.
They have to look good.
If you go out of the first quarter and it's like 10-7, I'm gonna have a
if it's less twitch. Than a double digit lead at halftime,
when you go to the half and it's 17-10, like, buddy, this is gonna be a long year. So I don't think, and look, just for the record, I don't think it is either. But yeah. The other side of the ball is just the same way. What was the yards per given? What's the yards given up? They shouldn't have more than 100 yards rushing. They should. How many sacks and hurries do you have? That number for State should be greater than 8. 8 sacks and hurries combined. Maybe greater than that, but I'm willing to settle for 8. Because if you told me they had 3 sacks and 5 hurries, that's a fine day at the park. I don't have a
problem. I would also imagine these numbers are going to be a little bit skewed, assuming they pull their starters at some point in the second half.
That's one way to look at it.
But
yeah.
I think the first half
team guys should be.
The first half stats should be the most important, in my opinion.
That's a good point, yeah. I'm gonna have a closer eye on the box score than I might in a
but
first
take
game.
It with a grain of salt, because I'm assuming they're gonna pull their guys.
Yeah, but while the starters are in, I want total domination.
There's also an argument that they could leave the guys in the whole game.
Keep them, yes, they need,
just because they need more reps.
Well, not
young
only that,
team, quarterback isn't making his third start. I mean,
don't you feel better going to Minnesota if you just win this game 77 to nothing or something? just absolutely, you're like, all right,
yeah.
We kick got all out of our system kind of
But
thing.
I mean, no head coach, I guess, wants to rub it in. There's nothing he said, like to make it crazy. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they leave him in. But at some point, you feel like they got to take him out just because, injuries are
You didn't hear
part
what
of the
Bob
game.
Benson said, the head coach at ULM?
No, I did not.
He said Kurt Cignetti was overrated.
Yeah, no, he did not say that.
He actually, here's the quote right here. Cignetti, totally overrated.
Oh, wow.
I just
If
read
I came over and looked at your monitor, that wouldn't be a thing.
It's right there on
Hell,
my
he's typing in right now. This is the no.
It's right there on my screen.
I think they're going to be fine. You know, IU actually plays their former quarterback that I covered in college. He's the starter at North Texas now.
Who is?
His name is Taven Jackson. He's Trace Jackson Davis, who's the center at IU, fifth in the all-time scoring list. It's his little brother, was committed to play at IU. When I was a senior, he was the starting quarterback. He got benched for a guy named Brendan Sorbsby.
Oh, yeah, how'd that
believe
go?
It or not. Crazy.
I bet he was good.
That was Sorbsby. I saw flashes. When he went to Cincinnati, though, I didn't think he'd be this good. But, yeah, Taven Jackson got
You
benched
wouldn't
for
have bet on
him.
that?
Good one.
I said it twice. You didn't catch the first one.
I would not bet on that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
What does that have to do with ULM?
Well, you just brought up Cignetti and IU, so
Oh, okay.
I had to plug there. But
I
yeah,
got you.
I think ULM is going to be.
Have you reached out to Michael Borky, by the way?
No, what do I need to? Oh, because that was
Didn't have your
delusional.
boys in the playoff?
I just don't even know
I
how.
had you third. I just want to point that out. Third.
You could argue that this team is better than the one they had last year. If they had Mendoza, they would definitely be better than the one they had last year.
Mendoza, that guy.
Just saying.
You know my thoughts on Mendoza.
He's great.
Great. He had a great season last year.
Yeah.
No, never take it away from him. National
Absolutely.
championship, Heisman Trophy. Never take it away from him. Maybe the most boring Heisman Trophy winner of all time. Like his stats.
You wouldn't be saying that if it was Kamari Taylor and they won the national championship.
If Kamari Taylor's stats were Fernando Mendoza's stats, first off, State would not win a national championship with those stats because Mendoza doesn't run the ball that much, except for that one time in the national championship game, which was awesome.
He ran the ball a good
Not
amount.
not the way Kamari Taylor's going to run it.
Well, no.
That's my point. And then secondly, I would be like, I'm glad we won, but man, this guy's the number one player in the country. I have trouble believing that.
You know, I'll take the national title. I'll take
I'm sure
take the Heisman,
don't take any
Peach
of it.
Bowl, and the Rose
Take
Bowl.
it all. Take
I'll
it all.
take
You
it.
deserve it.
Whoa.
It was won. But at the same time, I mean, like, his numbers don't look like Heisman Trophy quarterback winning numbers.
Well, they were good enough
They
last
were good
year.
enough. Yeah. Last year was just a bad year for Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, the Big Ten's won the last three.
I don't care. I could care. Won the last few Heismans? Is that right?
No, I'm talking about the last three national
Okay. I
championships.
was like, I'm not talking about the national title. I'm about the Heisman.
Oh. Well.
Like I don't debate that Indiana was the best team in the country last year. There's no debate on that.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah. I'll grant that all day long. The results on the field kind of bear it out.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, it's game week here on Thunder and Lightning, so let's set everything up for you. And just for Super Talk as well. Tomorrow, I will recap what we heard from Jeff Lebby at the opening press conference. Plus, should have that audio on the pod as well. Plus, our first SEC picks of the year. Remember, now the last time I asked you to make a pick, you were like, oh, I don't know. I don't.
I mean, it's win or lose, one of these teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you got to actually make the pick this time. Make predictions on this show. That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow's show. Wednesday is the rumblings, business as usual. We'll look ahead to ULM, get some ideas. I don't know if we'll do an interview. That might be a little tougher, but we'll figure that out. We'll get somebody on to talk about the Warhawks possibly. And then Friday, preview, playmaker, and predictions. Also, don't forget on WKBB 100.9 here in the Golden Triangle. Am I picking that up for me? My precious gives it back to us. Thank you. The tailgate show will be on 3 hours before kickoff, so that will air at 3:30 on Saturday, 100.9 WKBB here in the Golden Triangle, so you can check that out. Plus, I'll have it on the podcast feed as well. And then on Saturday after the game, you know what to do. Head over to YouTube, Super Talk Mississippi's YouTube channel, for the Thunder and Lightning post-game show. That's going to be a lot of fun. It always has been in the past. At least when State wins, when they lose, well, it could still be exciting. Who knows? So don't think we have to worry about that week one. We'll be doing that, obviously, for all of the games this year. Game week is finally here. We made it. Let's get to Saturday and enjoy. I hope you guys enjoyed college football this weekend. I certainly did on Saturday. There were some fun games, some good moments for week zero. But week one is here. Let's enjoy it this week. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.